Poetry is transformative, healing, soul fulfilling. To people who aren't artists or connoisseurs of art, slam poetry might not seem like a big deal. I describe myself as a page poet. This is somebody who prefers written poetry. But I have touched the slam poetry stage. Toronto has a small slam poetry community that has slowly been growing over the past 20 years. But without proper funding and community organizers, Toronto's scene hasn't grown as much as it could. The slam poetry scene in the United States, on the other hand, is an entirely different ballgame. With a long and deeply rooted history of slam poetry, the U.S. has simply more to offer its incoming poets. Today, I'll be looking at some of the problems Toronto's slam poetry scene faces.
It's really just like people win a title and then they drop out and they're kind of over it, or they move on to other types of art forms or writing projects or just their regular day jobs. And the youth have kind of nothing to look forward to or nowhere else to go. There's also not the same levels of clout if you win a Canadian festival as if you win a National Poetry Slam festival in the States.
That's Cassandra Myers, one of Toronto's most renowned poets and a friend of mine through slam poetry. They were on Toronto's BAM Youth Slam, the national youth poetry team in Canada, when they were just 18. Later, they went on to compete at four College Union Poetry Slam Invitationals, or CUPSI. Keep CUPSI in mind, it'll be important later. Despite Cassandra's personal successes, they veered away from directly competing in the Toronto scene.
Because the Toronto scene is run by men, and the Bay Area scene is run by a lot of queer, racialized folks. And I think that when you have a scene that's predominantly run by a very masculine, patriarchal energy, you lose a lot of the femmes, you lose a lot of the queer kids. They just feel othered in the space, and they move on to other queer, feminized art spaces that like allow them to thrive. That's kind of been a lineage that's been happening in the universities, and why the CUPSI scene thrives so much is because you have poets who came from slam, were already the best poets there, are doing their MFAs alongside artists who are already winning awards, and then teaching the generation and those universities like what they've learned from their MFAs. So that, like, that I think there's like, it directly has to do also with just like funding. We don't have that same kind of funding structure with our universities here, a lot of them being non-for-profit and not having the same kind of funding base as Stanford does. And also, like, the granting system is different in Ontario, where it's not based on mentorship, it's not based on community programs, it's really based on individual solo projects.
Currently, the only poetry scene that receives large amounts of funding from the Ontario government is the Toronto Poetry Slam, or TPS. TPS is a slam that's been running for 15 years. They've established a strong group of facilitators and grant writers who are successful in their applications to the Ontario Arts Council grants. Now, with the Ontario government's recent $10 million cut to the Ontario Arts Council, it will be even harder for Toronto's poetry scene to stay afloat. Emily Dial is a spoken word artist from the beautiful Bay Area of California. In early 2019, they coached Stanford University's CUPSI team. At CUPSI last April, their team placed third overall out of 58 teams. They also happen to be married to Cassandra Myers. The two of them met at CUPSI. This is just more proof at how life-changing slam poetry can be.
And do you think that the history of slam, like particularly in the Bay Area, has always been strong, or is that something that's sort of come up in the last like decade or so?
I think there is a really deep, deep history of slam in the Bay Area. Like Oakland alone has hosted the National Poetry Slam quite a few times. There's many pretty like acclaimed poets who have either gone to school in the Bay or that's where they grew up. San Francisco has a pretty like rich history of spoken word poets. So I think that that also contributes to this sense of like lineage and mentorship that arises out of the Bay, because there's been kind of a history of people like growing and passing things off, and like, so there's already a culture of passing the baton on to younger folks.
I needed to get a better sense of what's actually going on with Toronto's slam poetry scene. The first and most obvious choice, Toronto Poetry Slam. I set out to meet Dave Silverberg, the founder of TPS.
I think U.S. cities have had a bit of a leg up on us in terms of they've been doing this for a lot longer than Canada. So, and I think that U.S. cities tend to have poetry that is very political, that it, you know, speaks to a lot of the racialized violence going on in the U.S. And while we definitely have that here, I've noticed that in Canada, especially in the recent Festival of Spoken Word at Guelph last weekend, there was a lot of poetry about Indigenous rights and the violence against Indigenous youth, and also the history of, you know, marginalizing Indigenous peoples in general in Canada.
The act of spoken word has been around for thousands of years. The origins of slam poetry are rooted in Black history and culture. Slam poetry was also prominent during the Harlem Renaissance in the 1920s and the Black Arts Movement in the 60s and 70s. Present day, slam poetry continues to be a form of justice, advocacy, community, and healing. This is true in both Canada and the U.S. While the difference in both slam scenes can be attributed to the fact that the U.S. has simply been doing it for longer, that doesn't change the intention behind a poet's work. That being said, funding is still necessary to create spaces where artists can thrive. Another person I knew I needed to reach out to was Luke Rees. Luke has been competing within Toronto for a few years now. Recently, he went to Paris to represent Canada at the World Cup of Poetry Slam and placed fourth overall. As a seasoned slam poetry veteran who still slams to this day, I wanted to know where he thought the future of Toronto's scene lies.
Oh, it's totally lack of history. I think we'll get there. We're starting to see it now with, like, at the Banff Center, there's residencies that are happening. Oak has got a new program. Like we've seen growth, especially in the last 5 years. That is encouraging. We're just not there yet. And in terms of finding funding, these organizations, like even like Toronto Poetry Project, like we, which I'm now a part of this year, we're all volunteers that are running the slam. The funding goes to pay for venue, pay for features, things like that. So we don't even have the capacity to actually go out and actively seek funding, because we still have to, like, there's a barrier that because we don't have the long-standing history and the familiarity with it, that we have to still introduce people to what Poetry Slam is. You know, the new generations that are coming are going to have a better understanding of it, but they don't hold the money right now. The people who hold the money are not the people who go to Poetry Slam. So that's the gap that we're working within, and we don't have the personnel to bridge that gap or to put in the time and the effort that it's going to take to do that, which is why this is taking so long. But I do think that we will get there, and we either have to be patient and let it grow organically, or we need to, you know, support some people to actively pursue that for the greater community.